This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It's now 7:35. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got two lovely gentlemen here with me. Kusi Chuan.
Thank you.
And wow. Julian Ang. There you go. I thought I'll throw in some
tickle
flattery.
Me pink.
Okay. I'll get me anywhere for sure. Let's talk about the biggest business news of the day. Intel is taking a big bet on driverless cars with a $15.3 billion takeover of specialist Mobileye. Now, they're going to be paying for this Jerusalem-based company, which develops autonomous driving systems. Mobileye and Intel are already working together along with BMW, I think, to put 40 test vehicles on the road by the second half of this year.
Guys, I watched Logan last night. It's not bad. And it's set in the year 2029, which is not too far away in the future. And they had scenes of driverless transportation trucks. Mm. So at that time, when I saw the scene, it just clicked on me that as a share of the value economy, driverless would be more used for transportation of goods than humans as a share of the economy. And, you know, this is huge. This is a huge game, and it's going to be the next battlefield for all these people, where for the very first time we are seeing that companies that are not really involved in car manufacturing being involved in the auto sector.
Absolutely. And you, there's no surprises why Intel is getting involved, because having missed the boats in the mobile phone space, you know, their chips were too power consumptive and too laborious, I think, to have missed the boat. So for them to want to get in on the Internet of Things, you're so right, because every single device, every single thing that requires any kind of intelligence will require data and chips in the future. So for Intel to come in and do this, no surprises.
Well, I think Intel is very smart in choosing this company to take over, to buy out, right? Because Mobileye already has contracts with 27 car makers. They control about two-thirds of the market for software that runs emergency automatic emergency braking systems, as well as cruise control systems. So all these things that you already have in your cars right now, they've developed it. And now they're just going to take it one step further to say, well, no, it's not just going to be cruise controls, but complete autonomous driving.
Yeah. This is going to be the eye of the car, because safety is so important. Otherwise, we'll have chaos and mayhem on the road.
Yeah, Intel wants this company so bad, it's paying a 34% premium to the closing price on Friday. This is presumably after the shares have really ramped up on the interest from Intel. $15 billion.
But you know, they're using a lot of the cash as stashed outside of America to make this purchase. Yeah. So it's going to work out very well for them, because if they brought back the cash to America, that would be exposed to about a 35% tax, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, don't you think this is a crowded space already? I mean, everyone from Google to Samsung to Ford to GM, they're all building Uber as well, building autonomous cars.
But the market is huge. It's not just cars, it's lorries, it's haulage, it's trains, anything which is mobile in nature.
And it's also the systems, not just the body of the car itself. It's what runs the car that's going to be extremely lucrative for the likes of Samsung, Uber, and Alphabet.
Yeah, quite an interesting company. I mean, you know, it's Jerusalem-based. It's an Israeli company. And, you know, it makes you think of other Israeli companies as well, tech companies that have done really well.
Like Waze, for example.
Waze, for instance, yeah.
Which is also related to cars, right? I mean, if you want maps, driverless cars, you need a Waze to kind of engine it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Israel is a kind of the Silicon Valley of the Middle East. They have a tech hub there. So it's not surprising to see a lot of these very innovative tech companies coming out of that place.
It's now 7:39. The Bank of Japan is set to announce its monetary policy tomorrow, and they are expected to keep monetary policy steady and stress that inflation is nowhere near levels that justify talk of withdrawing their massive stimulus program. This comes as, I think, last week, Julian, we were talking about how the economy in Japan is picking up. However, we're seeing really weak consumer spending.
That's right. Consumer prices in Japan are heading towards the 1% level, which is a real far cry from the almost 0%, not only for last year, but for the last two decades. And analysts are predicting it will accelerate beyond the 1% level, but their target is 2%. So that's not hit yet. And that's very unlike the United States, which is also going to decide on interest rates. I think it's a foregone conclusion that everybody expecting Janet Yellen to raise interest rates in a few days' time. But the inflation there in the U.S. has hit the 2% target.
What was it that Joe Quinlan of Market Watch said this morning? Was it is baked in the cake already?
Baked in the cake, yeah. Everybody kind of expects Janet Yellen to raise rates tomorrow and three in total for this year. But, you know, Japan is the, not just the land of the rising sun. It's also the land of negative yields because, you know, a 10-year bond, you know, the short-term interest rate target is minus 0.1%. And you actually have to pay Japan to hold your, to hold the, for the privilege of holding your money for you in their, whatever their rating
it's is. Very
is it a AAA-rated economy?
Yeah, it's a very conservative society, aging society. And a lot of people there, while knowing that the interest rates are negative, prefer to put their money in the bank, literally under the blanket, where you not only don't earn anything, but you've got to pay to for the bank to keep your money.
Yeah.
Well, HSBC broke with tradition by choosing outsider Mark Tucker to replace Douglas Flint as chairman later this year, handling the AIA Group boss, now handing the AIA Group boss the task of selecting a new chief executive for Europe's biggest bank by 2018. So Mark Tucker, he's going to be taking over as the bank's first ever external chairman on October 1st. And at AIA, what's interesting to note as well is that Mark Tucker is going to be replaced by Ng Keng Hui as CEO. He is a Malaysian, so a Malaysian successor.
Oh, wow. Yes. Really?
Yeah, so I think the duo that helming HSBC right now, Douglas Flint, who's the outgoing HSBC chairman, as well as Gulliver, right? The CEO of HSBC right now. They have not done very well over the past few years simply because of a lot of the legacy issues of HSBC, where they expanded too quickly in the past. And now the duo trying to fight fires just to keep things at HSBC calm and nice. But they're operating in markets that are not very favorable. The UK and Hong Kong, for example. We know the UK is all about the Brexit, and that has not panned out very well for HSBC. And in Hong Kong, things have been slowing down as well.
Yeah, so interesting that, of course, Tucker is an Asia veteran, so he could probably intensify the shift towards, you know, the Asian complexion, which is perhaps lower risk income streams and more regional growth for HSBC.
You know, HSBC slashed 43,000 jobs and sold assets worldwide in the last few years, but it has got more than 1.2 trillion in customer deposits. So the new guy, when he comes in, he will have to think of what to do with his 1.2 trillion deposits, because
Can he give us some?
Perhaps you've got to set up some account in the Caymans, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or set up some development fund to receive some of that largesse. But, you know, it's hard to work that 1.2 trillion because demand is so low. We've seen in Japan that you can't get it, even get people to spend.
They're giving money away and no one's borrowing. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Coming up to 7:44 right now, we'll be back with a look at the local business scene, including the Aramco deal for Rapid. Details after this on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.